pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So, the question is, on old business, is anybody familiar with that? I mean, I knew. No, we're talking about the minutes from the last meeting, which are online, basically audio, right? So I need to know if anybody can propose that we accept what happened in the old business.
I propose we accept the old minutes.
You motion for that?
Any second?
That's first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody's opposed. Any comments or any questions?
Mr. Chairman, is this taped? Are people listening in?
Yes.
Would it be advisable to have us introduce ourselves so they know who's speaking?
It would be advisable. So whenever you're going to speak, if you would, this is Dan Gintig at the moment, the chairman, and that was Gene, one of our members. And if you're going to speak, it would be good to put it on, to put it, because it's going to be taped. And also, when you, if any of you are going to speak, if you would come up and speak into that microphone and give your name and pertinent information so we have that recorded as well. Thank you for thanking me. All right. The next order of business, and we have, if anybody doesn't know, Mike Shea has retired, and we all feel really bad about that because he did such a good job for the bingo. When he took over, everything seemed to go so much better than it had in the past. And so that's a real loss for us. But today we have Bill Hobbs, who is the Assistant Secretary of State, or Deputy Secretary of State, who is kind of taking over at the time for Mike Shea and trying to help with those kinds of duties, as I understand it. Okay, so if we could have a report from the Secretary of State's office, that would be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I may start, I guess, and we'll see if Rudy wants to maybe do the financials. But as the chairman said, Mike Shea retired actually earlier than we thought. Originally, we thought he'd retire in November, and then he said end of July, and then he retired end of June. So that is a big loss for the office. He had many years of service. He was actually at one point was a director of the business division as well. So he had many years of public service. So I'm sort of trying to fill in as acting director of the licensing division. As some of you may know, I used to come to advisory board meetings many years ago. I started with the Secretary of State's office in 1999. When Donetta Davidson was Secretary of State, and she and I used to regularly attend the meetings together. But then I think at some point, probably when Mike took over, he really did take over, and so we benefited from his service. But in the meantime, I'm just going to try to fill in. There's a lot of things that that I have by way of background, but I don't have much recent knowledge, so I hope you will be kind of kind to me, and I'll do my best.
So, okay, I appreciate you. That.
And I don't know, Rudy, do you want to talk about the financial report, or if there's anything you want to say in particular about it? I think it was sent out to the members,
right.
All of the spreadsheets and the worksheets and so forth.
Right. I understand that some people may have had difficulty opening the attachments. So if you did have difficulty with that, our IT department tells me that that's not on our end. But either way, if you had problems with that, I can print those out and send them to you. That's what we've been trying to avoid is making printed copies because of budget reasons, but I can print those out and send those to you. And we will eventually post the new financials on the webpage. It'll probably take place to happen this week. And if anyone in the audience would like to have a copy, if you give me your email address, I will email those to you as well, all of the financials that have all of the graphs and everything that Mike prepared.
For me, I'd like to comment on the financials just because hopefully everybody has looked at them. But what it looks like is the amount of decline in bingo is going down so that the number of games and the number of charities and the number of players are declining less than they have been over the last few years. And also, the big improvement I see, there's, of course, a decline in income, total income dollars-wise, what was spent, but there's an increase in profit for the charities. And I think that's a significant number, and my opinion, significant in the sense that it's increased slightly. And it's because of all the different things that that have happened over the last few years regarding rule changes, regarding electronics, regarding different issues along those lines. And so I'm encouraged by that because the decline is much less than it has been over the last few years. And so from my point of view, I see that as a good thing. On the other hand, it's not booming like it has been in the old days. And so we have to continue to get after it and do the things that we're going to be talking about today regarding the 24 number and things like that. Does anybody have any comments on the financials other than what I was saying?
Mr. Chairman, Gene McAvoy, I'm one of the nonprofit members of the advisory committee. Because of the status of the advisory committee, I think that's one of the long-term goals that we should look at, is how can we assist the charities to become more profitable, take a long, hard look at what we can modify if needed. So I'll just throw out the one that comes to me all the time. We have a significant issue recruiting volunteers. Very significant issue recruiting volunteers. And until we really look at what we can do to, I'll use the term, incentivize our volunteers to volunteer, I think that the numbers will continue a very slow uptick, and maybe not at all. That is the most difficult thing that we have to deal with in our gaming scenario. So just throw that out. I think that's one of the things the advisory committee could look at and possibly come up with some recommendations that might work.
The chairman, for example.
I'm going out on a limb here, and don't shoot the messenger, but some of our volunteers travel 100 miles to volunteer. And with the price of gas, with their economy, their economic situation as well, I mean, maybe a reimbursement for the mileage. Maybe, I mean, we can't even give them a soda while they work. And they're volunteers, and it's a good 8-hour day that these volunteers are taking away from their job. Their employers can't pay them to volunteer. So I think that's one of the things that we look at, is some type of compensation. And I don't know what change that requires, but that's the biggest one. Because if we could compensate in some manner, I wouldn't be here talking about this problem.
Yeah. One of the problems is we've discussed this issue, I don't know, over and over again. And one of the problems is the Constitution, I think it says there's no you can't get any dough, let's put it that way. And so we did discuss this in rulemaking one time about that, and we talked about what about snack bar things, what about mileage. We did talk about that, but then it was decided that that was part of what the Constitution was about, and I was wondering if we could get somebody from the Secretary of State's office to relook at that again, to see if you could reimburse mileage, if you could, you know, give them a Coke or lunch or something, just to compensate, just like the Secretary of State gives the board money to compensate for the mileage and for the meeting here today. And so could we get the Secretary of State's office to take a look at that from a legal perspective?
I think in addition to that, I mean, if we can, not we collectively, but if there was an effort to move the regulation from Department A to Department B, which requires a referendum or initiative, I mean, what's wrong with thinking about initiative to change the, if it is a constitutional ban, I mean, let's at least think about approaching some legislators or something for a referendum, because I'll tell you, it's becoming a huge problem. We're on the verge of considering whether we want to continue our program or not, because it's so difficult to get volunteers. And I love my organization. I love everything I do for that organization, but 50 weeks a year, that's a real commitment for no consideration except a nice thank you and a plaque to put on your wall. That doesn't quite get it anymore.
I understand. Okay. And so that, again, we'll have to look at that from a legislative point of view. Mr. Hobbs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we can take a look at that. I think in particular, I don't recall that we've looked specifically at reimbursement of expenses and whether or not that would fall under the constitutional provision, but we can take a look at that.
That would be very helpful if that's a possibility. Okay. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else on the finances? I do have one thing that the Secretary of State could look at again until I get to the next. We keep asking this. It's been, I don't know, 1.5, 2 years since we increased the fees to the charities to pay for computer software, et cetera, to take care of online all kinds of things, online reporting, online tests, online, everything was going to be put online, and that was what the money increase was for, which is a significant amount of money from the charity's perspective. It was another 0.1%, you know, so it went from 0.4 to 0.5, I believe, is something like that. And I just wonder what the status of that is again. Now, the last time the IT reported to us, they said they were almost done. My impression is whenever software people say they're almost done, they're always saying they're almost done. You know, they're never done. And so that's another question that maybe we could get answered.
Well, I think the plan was to implement it in two phases. And the first phase, which is the internal system, is done. Would you say it's finished, Shannon, or?
Mostly
finished, but there's still problems with working out some of the problems. I don't think they've started designing yet the external phase, but the idea was that once the internal phase was completed, it wouldn't be that difficult to also implement the external phase. But so far, they haven't started developing that, I don't believe.
Okay, so that's one area that we just wonder about. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I might add that we have recently started supplementing the resources for our IT division. You know, we've been operating under a hiring freeze, and we've had about a 15% vacancy in the department, including IT. But we've decided that all of these programs, not just this program, are increasingly starting to suffer because we're unable to deliver enhancements, bug fixes, and that kind of thing. So we're focusing what limited hiring we're able to do on trying to backfill some of the vacancies in our IT division and hopefully trying to bring to the top of their priorities things like this that have been delayed or deferred.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, so any other questions regarding the finances before we move on?
Mr. Chairman, Bo Williams, Veterans Organization. I found these attachments that Mike prepared and Rudy afforded to us extremely helpful in response to your comments to the financial trends and situation. There was a couple of interesting things that I personally felt that were significant. It was like even the number of raffles had decreased. And so that's parallel or linear with the drop in revenues. I think we might consider looking at the number of occasions that, you know, an individual organization can do raffles and also increasing the limits of the raffles. I've been approached by a number of individuals about concerns about that. Another point that was interesting was rent per occasion, whereas all the trends have gone down. I mean, it is plain that rents aren't going down, and I think that would be obvious to most people. One last point would be that I think we all realize the monetary profits, net profits, have been of particular concern. But if rents are not going down, emphasis has to be put on looking at how can we, of course, increase revenues. And our regulations have a large amount of monetary limitations as to how much we can award, how much is involved in it's relative to our profits. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to add those few comments to say that there are some good indicators, and there is room and now documentation that would warrant looking into increasing limits.
You're talking about payouts?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm certain we can discuss that. That's a, by rule, we can change how much payouts are maximum and all of those kind of things. It's not a legislative process anymore. It's by rulemaking. So we certainly can discuss that. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to the next area, which is discussion of the 24-number bingo test results and the potential rule changes. All right. Do we have approval from the state yet on the 24-number system? No? Is that what everybody's under the impression of, vendors-wise?
It was never submitted as a letter ruling process. What we went through was a testing phase.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, it was never submitted as for a letter ruling to implement that. I think the discussion prior had to do with rules that
yes.
needed to be changed and maybe some statute changes before it could be implemented. And I think that's what initiated the committee that worked on the rules.
Correct.
But that's just my recall.
Okay. Do we have any other knowledge about anything about that? No?
Well, they've sent some requests in, but I don't think it had to do with the 24-number bingo. My understanding was that with some upgrades they were doing software-wise that they were looking to have approved, and we had no issues with those. But the 24-number bingo system, I've not seen a letter submitted requesting a ruling on that, for that to be allowed to be used in the state.
Okay. So my question then is, we're still in a state of flux regarding the 24-number bingo game, and I'm assuming we're going to continue the testing process till we get to that yes or no?
Well, the agreement was that it would be tested for 4 months. That is over, that test for the person who made that request. There have been other manufacturers that have requested to run a test for 3 months, and I think we've granted one that they could test their system. A similar system for 3 months, but that's the extent of requests that have been sent.
So, question on that.
Hold on, John. You got to go to the microphone and identify yourself, please.
All the requirements for. Is allowed to continue running the game?
No, that approval was only for a test period.
Okay.
For 4 months. That was it. Yeah, that was the agreement.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So no,
they shouldn't be operating them any longer, no.
I see. I yeah. think meetings.
I'm going to say something to you.
Well, let me.
Because you weren't here last time.
Yes, I was.
No, it was just for approved for a test period only.
I agree with what you're saying. Okay. My impression, Rudy, this is the chairman again, what Mike had said and what you guys had said was that we were going to continue that test. And then if we hadn't reached an agreement by then, they were going to continue on with the testing until we had reached a yes or no agreement. That's what was stated at the last meeting, if you want to look in the minutes last time. That's what was stated, that the units would continue on until a decision was made on yes or no regarding the 24 number.
Okay, that's not how I recall it, but we can listen to that.
If you would look that up, because that's important to the groups that are already doing it and at the halls that's already happening. And so we don't want them to have to stop and restart and stop and restart and stop and restart.
My understanding was just for the test period, but I could be wrong.
And because he said it would continue on.
Okay.
He said it would continue on.
We'll have to look.
You remember that?
Yep, I do. It was at both of the last two meetings.
John Amon, Sr., representing Quality Bingo Supply. Pause. What approval would we need? The new rules that are proposed are to make the limits.
Thank you, John. Mr. Hobbs.
Bill Hobbs, you know, I'm not sure that we understand it the same way, that it is a lawful game. I think my understanding was that was one of the purposes of getting to know how it worked a little better. From what I've heard about it, and admittedly I'm not completely up to speed on this, but what I've heard about it is that there is a concern that it's more of an electronic bingo game, which is not authorized under the statutes. You know, a number of years ago, when we faced this with the TEDS, basically it was authorized by bill as a player aid device, and the provision of the bill specifically said that nothing in that article would authorize electronic bingo. And so I think there is some question in our minds about whether or not this is really more of electronic bingo, because it's played entirely, as I understand it, it's played entirely on the device itself.
Mr. Hobbs, the question isn't so much, the question is whether the state is going to approve it or not approve it, okay? And at the moment, that's still a state of flux. And so I think what we're asking right now is that it would continue on the way it is with the ones who are using it until the state makes a decision on whether they're going to accept it or not going to accept it. And I think we're in a state of flux regarding that. And so the state may say no, and they may say yes, right? That's what we're asking for.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may, then I just, you know, what that wasn't quite my understanding, but we will look at that. As Rudy said, we'll look at what was agreed to before. I did receive a copy of the draft rules and thought that really the next question for us was whether or not to go forward with rulemaking to authorize the game. And so what I'm hearing is your understanding was the testing period continues until the Secretary of State decides whether or not it's a lawful game. And so we'll look at that again. But like I say, we do have some doubts about whether that can be authorized without legislation.
Yeah, and so that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for a decision. And in the meantime, we have people, you know, doing things that are ongoing. And so, and we're trying to meet all the bingo requirements other than is this electronics or not, you know, that kind of a situation that meets the law. As far as we're concerned, it would, but the rule changes are to enhance the game, potentially, which we're going to discuss those here in just a minute. And I think one of the problems is nothing's happened. okay, since we sent in the request for rule changes, because there's a lot of turmoil and dynamic flux going on in everybody's office regarding what's happening, right, with bingo or not bingo being here or there or somewhere in life, if I'm not mistaken. And so nobody has taken a stand on anything, and we're trying to keep pushing forward. Just because we may move to a different department doesn't mean we don't want to continue on with what we're already doing, if I may.
Mr.
Chairman, Member McAvoy, is this a draft? Is this a proposed rule?
Yes.
Okay. For us a little bit challenged, is it possible next time we get handouts, whether it says proposed or real?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at this and it.
Right. It was the proposed rule. One of the problems, Gene, was that this was the proposed rule that the Secretary of State asked to send in. We had a committee set up to do this. We sent them in, and then this meeting was supposed to be to discuss potential rule changes then, but that was put on hold, as I understand it, because of the dynamics that are going on right now in the Secretary of State's office and everywhere else.
I understand that. It's just that I prefer when a document comes across in our packet that it says it's a rule. Catch up, because this is only my second meeting. Couldn't make the last one. Tell me why the impression is that what's different about this than a TED? What makes it different?
Oh, geez.
Well, it's not a bingo aid device. It's not a device used as an aid to play bingo. In my opinion, it's a separate game. It's a different game.
I want to say that there's been rule changes made about TED since what you were talking about. Okay, and those rules allow for TEDs to be electronic devices. They no longer have to have paper to back them up. The rules were changed to make the TEDs electronic devices. And so if you would look those rules up, I think that's what you would find.
Also, the game
Mr. Chairman, if I could, a key thing for me is that the statute that was adopted when TEDS was authorized, and the statute trumps any rules, specifically says nothing in this article, and it's talking about the bingo raffle laws, nothing in this article shall be construed to authorize the playing of bingo solely by means of an electronic device. So it would be a different question if
What's the date of that statute?
That's current law, but that was enacted when the TEDS were authorized by statute.
And rule can't trump. Again, I know that. They can't trump.
Yeah, I understand that.
And on that, on the 24-hour games, they're available to be played.
Mr. Ryan.
I thought I might describe the method of play to Ms. McAvoy.
Yeah, I'd appreciate
that. Might give her a bit of grasp of the situation.
Sure.
And also, it might help to make sure I understand. I actually played the game, paid money, and played the game on one occasion.
You won, too.
So, Mr. Ames, correct me if I get off track here. But basically, what you do, Jeannie, when you walk into the hall, you have a point of sale location, and then you have some terminals set up. You go up to the point of sale, and let's say you give them a $20 bill. They register that into the machine and the memory, and you get a coded receipt with a specific ID number on it. You go to whichever station you choose, and you enter in, you begin the process and enter in your ID number, and then it comes up and says, okay, you know, you've got this much credit on the machine. Then you'll have a display screen showing so many faces. Like, I believe there were eight faces on the machine. There may have been six.
One to six, yeah.
Okay, so there were six faces on the machine. And then you can decide, am I going to play all six faces? Am I going to play one face? And am I going to play at a quarter per face or 50 cents per face? And then you touch and enter whatever you choose to do. Now, this machine, prior to you entering the hall, there have been 30 numbers drawn and posted on the wall. Well, they're also in the memory of the machine. Okay, so as soon as you choose those faces, and maybe your neighbor next to you can't make up their mind, so they're still debating what they're going to do. Well, you choose your faces and you initiate the play, it's instantaneous. The memory pulls the 30 numbers out of the memory and populates the cards and says, you win, you don't win, you know, whatever, and then you can play another round. So it's very, very fast. And yes, it would be possible to play it on paper, but completely impractical, okay, to play it on paper. But it's a fun game, and it's real exciting, but quite frankly, we were concerned because it was like being a Blackhawk and playing Keno or one of those machines, and we even talked to Department of Revenue, and they didn't seem to have concern over it. We thought it was fascinating as far as investigators going out and
right.
and witnessing. We thought, you know what, this could really generate some interest with the players. So that's yeah. basically how it works. But there's no calling numbers. There's no caller up there. Everything is in memory. Pre-called. So as fast as it's all pre-called. So as fast
call
as you
call it a pickle-aid.
No, it's not a pickle. It's a bingo game.
I'm just thinking outside the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the this is the chairman. You were absolutely right, Patrick. That's how it's played.
Perhaps I misspoke by using the word impractical.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be economically attractive to the vendor if you can't have that fast action, the constant play. If you were to play it on paper, as John Jr. was speaking about, yeah, it might still be fun, but it's not going to bring
not going to go as fast. That's for sure. What I want to comment on about what is the chairman again that Bo had mentioned is how we increase the profits, and the reason that the Secretary of State and all of us were looking at this is will this help the charities make more money? That was the whole point of this. It wasn't to sell them. It wasn't to sell more hardware. Will it add to the profit of the charities? And also, all that was required to answer Gene's question was you only need one or two volunteers max in order to deal with this situation. So you don't need a whole room full of volunteers. You need one volunteer or two volunteers at the most, okay? And so that was the whole point. Would this help bingo? Would this help the bingo situation? Would this help the charities? And that's what the tests are for. That's what the rulemaking is for. That's what all the questions are about, can we increase the profit for the charities in bingo? Mr. Hobbs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Hobbs. You know, that is something that we've talked about internally because that's a driver for us, too. That what would increase the profitability for the nonprofits? I'm not aware of any information that we have about the economics of this. My understanding was that during the test period, the devices were made available by manufacturers for free. It would be helpful, just as we did when the legislature authorized TEDS, to see some of the economic information. What would it cost a nonprofit to actually
We talked about this. We talked about this last meeting. Okay, and on the initial test period, the groups were making before there were any expenses. They were making $300-$400 a session. Okay, let me finish this, John. And what we decided was, based on the answers from vendors and from the electronics manufacturers, the cost of the game for the charity is going to be, they have to pay for paper so much a face, right? And they have to pay potentially rent, but mostly for paper. And if they're not playing the machine in the same session that they're playing the regular bingo game in, then there may be some rent. But we were going to say that it was going to cost them somewhere between $60 and $100 a session expense, not including rent if there was rent, for example. Okay? And there wouldn't be rent if they were already playing bingo at the same time, the regular bingo games, because they're paying rent for that. Unless there was different time frames and things like that. And that's just a test session. The other idea was, just for your information, the other idea I had the other day, for example, I have a hall that has a session that's available, right? And we're looking for charities, and as Gene said, it's hard to get volunteers, and so finding daytime charity, daytime games is always harder because people are working. But we were thinking if we had all the right electronics, and we had a 24 number game, and we had 50 machines in a hall, that we could run that game, that session, from without doing any other bingo games, for example. We could do that from 10 or 11 in the morning till 3 or 4 in the afternoon and just keep running in. People come in and buy cards, they leave, or other people come in and buy cards, they leave. And we felt that was going to be a potential niche, profit-wise, to fill in for halls and other people who could make money using electronics like that. Now they could still sell the pickles at the same time. They could do all of those things. So nothing would go away except we wouldn't have a regular bingo session pattern blackout that we normally would take, 10, 20, 30 minutes on each one. This would just be the electronics. And so that's a potential to help, again, nonprofits make money and not have to worry about how many volunteers they have. So that's another thing that we're looking at. And so that's why we're saying this is a potential moneymaker for the charities. It isn't so much a potential moneymaker for the bingo halls and for other things like that, but it is a potential moneymaker for the charities. And that's really, if the charities can't make money, we're all out of business. John Amon Jr. Okay, thank you, John. Patrick Ryan.
Well, just to clarify, so you're contending that if they had these machines at their bingo game, and the 24 number of machines you're saying would make $2,000 per occasion?
That's the numbers.
Per month, you mean? Per occasion, per month.
Not in our test period, you can see those numbers.
Over the last 2 months of the test period.
This is just from memory. I don't recall seeing it.
I assume you have the quarterly reports from the first quarter. Okay. And then the second quarter you haven't got done yet because they're probably not in yet. Yeah. Mr. Hobbs.
And to follow up on that, if there is anything in writing, I'm not sure we can isolate this with respect to our quarterly reports. Maybe we could. But if there's already something in writing that does provide an economic analysis, we'd love to have that.
Yeah, we had some last meeting. We had a few LE32s, I believe.
Right.
Reports that showed what the money, what income was just for that, just for those things, for several of the charities.
I have also drafted my own sheet with all the different charities and how much they've made.
Good, especially
Can you give Mr. Hobbs that and Rudy? Okay. The other thing is, and it hasn't affected, as far as we can tell, it has not affected the pull tab play. Okay, so that didn't change, didn't go down. Okay, and so it's an additional profit. It's not instead of, it's an additional profit for the charities. Gene.
Yes, I have a question on timelines. When was the 24 game proposal for, when did we start this process of looking at this game?
6 months. Has it been 6 months, John? No. I'm talking about the test.
The test.
Hello.
March 1st, I think, was our first live.
March 1st was first live test.
So almost 4 months.
Yeah.
My question is, how long would it take to implement a rule? I mean, what more do you all need to implement a rule to give it the final blessing?
Chairman, Bill Hobbs. The rulemaking process takes generally at least 3 months to give issue, notice of rulemaking, notice of a public hearing, hold a public hearing, et cetera.
Are you comfortable that you're at a point where you could start that?
No.
That's not the right answer, Bill.
not comfortable, basically, for the three reasons I think that kind of been alluded to. One is a question of whether we have the rulemaking authority to do it without benefit of a statute. We need to be satisfied on that. Number two, the chairman referred to this, there is the question of, is this the right timing with referendum P on the ballot? I understand, on the one hand, you want to go forward. On the other hand, that's a question for us. And then third is this in the economic interest of the nonprofits? Those are the three concerns that I think we have right now about going forward immediately with a rule change.
He hasn't found out yet.
Your representative from the AG's office, have you asked any opinions of him or her?
Chairman Bill Hobbs, I don't, as far as I know, we haven't asked on this specific question. For years, we have talked about related questions about electronic bingo and what does the Constitution authorize and what do the statutes authorize and so forth.
Boy, I have a lot more to say again. This is the chairman. Okay. Of all the meetings we had, Gene, when Mike Shea was here, he had basically overcome any objections to this particular game other than any rules that needed to be modified regarding what you were talking about, Bill. Now, yes. Okay.
Maybe some disagreement. About
well, you can listen to the minutes from all. That's where it all is. The other thing I'm going to say is, what we need is, because of the tests that were done and that we want to continue on with, we want the Secretary of State's office, Rudy, and you guys to say, yes, continue on until we make a final decision to see if we are going to change rules, see if we are going to approve this, see if we are going to do this. We need to continue on what was already started, which was also in the minutes from the last meeting, okay, that we were going to do that. As far as rulemaking and all those other things, that's just the way it is regarding how long it takes. That's the normal process, and we don't have a problem with that. Whether or not it gets, we don't know what you're going to do if it gets moved to revenue or it stays in your office. Nobody knows that yet, right? Because there's an election to decide. There's a ballot to decide that, and so who knows what's going to happen? But the charities still need to make money, the vendors still need to make money, and all the licensees are interested in how they can increase their income. And we've limited it to how many halls there are that are doing this in a small way. But at the moment, from what I can see, because I went over to the same place Patrick won all of his money playing this game.
I actually did okay.
I know you did, yeah. Patrick, believe me, you would not even stand a chance of us not knowing that.
The game really does have potential.
It does, yeah. And I went over and I played, and I had a good time, and I won almost $300. Nope. No, I was betting all the faces and just normal 50-cent stuff, you know. But they were not happy with me. But that's happened before, hasn't it? Yes. Bo.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bo Williams, Veterans Organizations. Most of the contacts of all of these issues seem to be generated around the bingo halls and what have you. I think we all share one thing, and that our revenues are decreasing. We have documentation to back that up. Volunteerism, that's another issue. However, I want to emphasize, and with respect to our veterans, because of our particular cause at this time in our history, We are in dire shape. Out of District 10, which is has 12 Veterans of Foreign Wars posts in it, right now, this month, we're looking at three who are looking at terminating their charter because they cannot continue. We became very excited over this B3. Excuse me. Because unlike a bingo section, from the time we open the doors to the time we close the doors on a given day, these machines were operable. And so there is a potential there for our daily, weekly, quarterly, however you want to look at it, profits to make a significant difference.
Absolutely.
We just got our liability insurance for our post reduced from $8,900 a year to $6,000 a year. So it's still $500 a month just for liability insurance. We feel that this B3 has the possibility with our membership to pay for or subsidize just the cost of our insurance premiums. Because our $500 a month and our average utilities on the building with minimal use is $1,350 a month. That's almost $2,000 for two items that money is not going out to help veterans. And we are in a dire situation. We're a year, maybe 2 years out from looking at terminating our charter. This is embarrassing as far as an American and a patriot that our good organizations, and it's not just the veterans, we're out there trying to do good things for people, not just trying to pay our overhead. We can't wait 3 months, 6 months, what have you. I recently signed a contract with GameTech for this equipment. We have made reparations in our facility with Netwire, with the Cat 5, and what have you, in order to make ready for this. I'm not concerned about the contractual obligation respective of the legislative allowance. It's just the fact that, again, we are in a dire situation. This is an immediate remedial fix to our situation, and we might be able to save some other posts. We, from my understanding, here in the Denver Metro are going to be the first, is this correct, John? The first private club that is going to have this system. So therefore, because we're aligned so close with DAV and the American Legion and Vietnam Vets Association, they are watching us closely. We have agreed to share our financial information with them so that they could calculate whether or not it would be a last-minute save for them. So all parties involved, you know, I would say, please, let's act fast on this. I suppose, John, if they're going to take this position that we can't proceed because our signing the contract missed the test period obligation. So we're going in as a first club to do it outside of the test period or program that you had. That we can still get the equipment, it's just a possibility. We're not going to be able to turn it on, right?
Well, the Secretary of State's office could today say the test will continue. They can say that. I mean, there's nothing holding them back from saying that, other than there's lots of turmoil. I just mean right now, they could say this very meeting, it will continue.
Question. I mean, now, you know, this is just from my understanding here. It sounds like GameTech is engaging in a business on a machine that so far is not authorized under the law. Thinking from a regulator's point of view, it's like, wait a minute, what's happening here? It's like, this is not actually authorized by the law yet, and these folks are signing contracts for you to run these machines? That brings questions.
But they're not running them, Patrick. They're not running them unless you guys say it's okay.
We had steps to go through, Patrick, to acquire the equipment. So, like I say, it might be another issue.
Well, it's nothing on you guys. We've never seen a letter asking for authorization of these, from my understanding.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, we received a notification from you. I get frustrated dealing with games.
Can somebody go call them?
If they have a letter authorizing them to do that from us, I'd sure like to see it. To my knowledge, we've not authorized these machines to be marketed in Colorado. All we authorized, to my knowledge, was the test period. And if I'm wrong about the test period at the end of May, I could be wrong about that.
Yeah,
Mike said verbally that we could continue the test period until the rules were changed.
Yeah.
I can go back on the record and listen to that and see if that's there.
Yeah.
My understanding was that's all that was offered.
Yeah. And we don't disagree with that, Rudy. That's where we are. That's why we were trying to figure out where you were in regards to authorizing or not or continuing the test. You know, that, and we don't disagree with you at all in regards to that. And I don't think anybody is taking advantage of anything else regarding that.
Gene.
About the test and directed to John Ammon Jr. It's in three, is it a test of three locations?
Two locations.
Both bingo halls. Describe the charities that are doing it, or is it the entire hall and all the charities?
Each individual charities. See, one hall
hall, it just hasn't taken off.
So,
let me answer your question, Gene.
Well, okay, go ahead.
So the point is, it's the same charities, the same type of charities that you're familiar with. So they're the Elks, they're the churches, they're the Knights, all of those kind of things.
I'm thinking that possibly, if there's not authorization, which GameTech says there is, if the test, I'm not sure the test is adequate in diversity or length of test. Because listening to Bo here, I mean, are you testing it in your?
No. Because we passed the so-called test period. We had wanted to because we actually felt as an organization that the testing that had been agreed upon excluded the private clubs. So you have no no documentation.
Let
to
me
say,
answer that.
How would it benefit our private club?
No, let me answer that, okay? The there was no limit on how many people could do testing. There was no limit put on that. In other words, he could have done the testing. He could have gone to his place. We could have done the testing, but we decided not to until we figured out what the state was going to say and if the electronics could improve. Other halls were willing to do the testing, and they did, and we were watching for the results. And so there was no limit on where and how, where and what places you were able to do testing. Is that correct, Rudy?
Yeah.
You could have done it wherever you wanted.
It just had to be notified which group.
Which group were going to do it, yeah.
What location.
Yeah.
With all due respect, Mr. Chairman, you being a hall owner.
That would be me, yes.
It should be the charity's decision whether to test it or not, correct? Or a combination of a joint decision to test it. Go ahead.
If I recall, I think that John Jr. mentioned that they were approaching some clubs to try and get some clubs to try that, but no one was willing to step forward. Yeah. That's what I recall.
Yeah, at that time, the
is it because of the expense to the hall to?
No.
Well, that's not necessarily true, but it's not any. The testing was the charities were not going to pay any money. In other words, they didn't have to pay for paper and they didn't have to pay rent, okay, and or any of that kind of thing. So it was free to them to do the testing. Well, the Secretary of State has to approve it, but, I mean, the testing can continue, that's for sure.
Chairman, could I just ask by way of clarification, what was the purpose of the test? What was the defined purpose for doing the testing?
The main purpose was to see, number one, how the game worked, and number two, to see if there was a potential profitability for the charities.
And so is there a need to continue the testing on either of those two purposes?
My answer to that question is there's charities that are already doing it under the testing. There's probably 20 or 25 charities already doing that. And so they would want to continue, and there's other places that would want to try it out also, test-wise, to see if it's beneficial. For example, Bo and his places or other halls that are interested in hearing about it and would be interested in testing it as well.
And again, Bo Williams, Mr. Hobbs, the main difference that we became aware of was that the charities who are participating for the devices that are in a hall come in for their 2.5-hour period or what have you, and that's their period of realization, if I may. Whereas, again, I don't believe, John, correct me if I'm wrong, that there is a facility that the equipment is available all day long on behalf of a charity. And so that is really, this might be a break or die for service organizations who do not have regular bingo offerings.
That's that were proposed were primarily to make that it will.
Thank you, John. This is the chairman again. The other thing I want the Secretary of State's office to understand, and they already know this, it's only that Game Tech was the one who asked for the test, but there's more vendors that have the same equipment that are asking for approval as well, or they might have already gotten approval, but they're asking for approval as well. And so, yeah, I mean test period. And so the point is there's plenty of competition for the charities to deal with and for the clubs to deal with. So it's not like a single vendor that would have a monopoly on everything. Okay, it just sounds like it because that's where the test was originally. Mr. Ryan.
Well, this is a question that I actually would direct to Mr. Hobbs to help further my understanding. But it seems to me, Bill, that we, by granting a test period, we kind of bent over backwards to try and adopt some new strategies and games that might increase your bottom line. But at the same time, I think there's a point where our office could exceed our own authority in saying, hey, we're going to set the rules and laws aside, you know, for a brief time to run this test. I just think that there could be a line there that we have to be careful. Well, and I'm not certain of that.
You know, man, I'm gonna say again, okay, we did two things. One is we meet all the rules, number one. Number two, we asked for rule changes in order for this particular situation to run more effectively for different charities and different halls and different organizations. That's the purpose of the rule changes. But in the meantime, we meet the rules of bingo. In our opinion, that's what that was. Yeah, and who else's opinion should I have?
I can answer that.
Yeah, I figure.
No, I mean, in the nicest way, because Gene mentioned this, I think, you know, there's at least two takeaways for us that I can think of. We already agreed we'd go back and look and see what really was authorized. Let's clarify that. And second, why not go ahead and just ask our AG for an updated opinion on that? I like I say, it sounds from what I've heard, it's more like electronic bingo, and that's not authorized. But perhaps I'm wrong about that, and happy to look at it because I think we do come from the same interest. What's going to help the nonprofits? We can't exceed our legal authority. We can't do it. We don't get to choose that. We're subject to that. But if our AG says, you know, looking at the statute and the Constitution, this is something that can be authorized, now that we know how the game works, I think that's something we need to know.
Okay. And I don't think that should be an issue from all the things we've discussed over the last few months, number of months.
When you make a presentation to the AG about the ruling, it seems like there's some discrepancy between your understanding of the way the game operates and Quality Bingo's explanation about how the game operates with regard to paper. And I think it's important that someone other than just your office, from your opinion, represent to the AG's office how this works, so we make sure that we get a clear and complete explanation of the ramifications and the scope of the gaming system.
Chairman Bill Hobbs, I don't mind asking the AG if, you know, sub questions. If this is an all electronic game, what's the legal authority? If this is an all paper game, what's the legal authority? I mean, we can ask those questions.
Or if it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, and is it a player aid? Is it going to be like Ted's, operated off of paper, and the device then is just a player aid, or is it simply, you know, is it some sort of hybrid?
Okay.
So, I think we know enough about the game to ask the right questions.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions about the test. Is the test over?
Chairman, my understanding was that it was, but I think what I'm hearing is that there's some misunderstanding about that. And so, like I say, a takeaway for us is to go back and clarify whether or not that's the case. I think if there's a part of it for me is what did we agree to before, and I think that's on a tape, and part of it for me is what is the need for the additional testing? What is the purpose? A test as opposed to simply authorizing the continuation of 24-number bingo indefinitely. That's not really a test. That's just simply authorizing the game.
One
don't think Game Tech's going to allow.
So the question would be, can we continue the test that's already being run at the places it's already being run? Until a decision is made.
Well, that gives us more information then to make decisions from. That's the purpose of continuing the test.
Well, and again, maybe I'm just being dense here. That's kind of why I was asking, what's the purpose of the test? What do we not know now that we're going to learn from additional testing?
And I'd like to respond to that. Mr. Hobbs, with all due respect, in our case, we first heard about this actually after I had already come on the board. I didn't realize this had been in the works, but our particular club or post had been invited to participate in late April. And with that as a June 1st, it had to be brought to our people for consensus and what have you if we want to try it. Of course, nobody knew anything about it. With other obligations and what have you, it soon became the middle of May, at which time I had a consensus and I proceeded to commit to the situation as far as ordering the equipment in. Our interest in the test period, number one, was we weren't going to be charged any fee for operating the equipment for a given test period. We realized that at that point we were in at the 11th hour. I was under the misnomer that there was equipment available right away and it was just a matter of bringing it down and hooking it up and we can try it and get right into the test period. And so I found out that's completely wrong because it has to all go through the contractual trail to Game Tech. They provide the equipment. It's sent in from out of state and has to be professionally installed. So I believe we're in the end of our third week now, I think, waiting, John, for the equipment. We still haven't seen equipment yet. So we have not had the luxury of, whether we're charged for it or not, of finding out what an average day would bring into the post at this point from point of opening to point of closing. And that I think that is so significant to all of the service organizations who maintain a post.
This is the last comment I'll make, and it's got questions with it. Okay, so you're testing it in two locations. How many licensed locations are there in Colorado?
500
That have bingo raffle licenses. There's over 500 and some. According, it's on this sheet here. 500 or 600, and that is how many licensees there are for bingo raffle.
Considering bingo halls and bar and club rooms and private halls where they play bingo, Shannon's probably more of an authority than anybody, and I don't know what her guesstimate would be, but. What, 500 maybe total with bar and club rooms? Maybe 600?
Bingo and
drum? And sell pull tabs at their bar and club room?
Probably.
So I guess my question is this. Is two locations who are of the same type, correct? They are bingo halls.
Denver Metro.
I'm questioning whether we have had enough diversity and length of time to reach any conclusion.
Excuse me. Tom Bednar, Colorado Youth Basketball. The question I have is, do we really have any proof, evidence at this point that this new game is indeed a moneymaker for the charities? Do we have that? In what form?
I have a Excel worksheet.
could I get your spreadsheets?
Sure.
Good. Thank you.
And the last part of the question is, where do we go from here? We could have six more hours of this type of discussion. So what, I guess we need to give them our thoughts about what we want to accomplish and time periods, and that doesn't mean they have to meet it, but at least they know where we are.
Okay. I'm not sure, but I think we have. But what I'm saying is, and I can't think of any reason that this can't be done at this very meeting, okay, is that you would continue the testing period until the Secretary of State or whoever, the Attorney General or whoever it is, reaches a decision on whether this is a viable legal game.
And Mr. Chairman, Bill Hobbs, I'm not comfortable authorizing indefinite testing if the game is not lawful. If that's what we already had said, and I did say we'd go back and listen to the tape, if we had, did say that, I'll live by that until we have some sort of conclusion working with the AG as to whether or not the game is lawful to continue. So I'll honor what was said after we listen to the tapes. But I'm not entirely comfortable saying right now that testing can go on indefinitely without having done that.
I understand. My question then is, what happens with the ones who are currently doing it, the testing, and Mr. Williams?
And again, my understanding was the test period was over. So this is news to me that that the testing is continuing.
Mr. Hobbs, would it be unrealistic to ask for a 90-day extension of the testing period? Be specific, not indefinite. I don't like indefinite.
What would be, help me understand the purpose of the additional testing. I understand the articulated purpose was to understand how the games work. As far as I know, that's been satisfied, how the game works. And my understanding was that was the primary purpose. The second purpose was profitability, and I'm told that there's information for us to analyze. I haven't looked at LE32s, and I haven't looked at John Amon Jr.'s spreadsheet. But again, apparently that information already exists, so I'm not sure that additional testing would generate more information. Now, if I'm incorrect about that, I mean, I'd like to hear it.
No, sir, I just have a difference on that as far as the information that John Jr. has is regarding bingo hall groups, which is for a duration 2.5 to 3 hours. We don't have any information on any clubs whose hours are normally 9 to, say, 10 o'clock at night. We have no information on that. It's very important because we will be monitored by other service organizations, I think, and I anticipate that they're going to immediately want to commit within a short period of evaluation that we could. Also, I need to mention it's a two-way street on the equipment. Game Tech in the contract has the option of terminating the contract if they don't feel that they're getting their money's worth. So I'm not even at the point where I can say, we're doing okay. We bring in, say, instead of $500 a month, we bring in $375. Well, that's good for us. It subsidizes those expenses I explained before, but it might not be good enough for Game Tech. All of a sudden, Game Tech notifies us, 30 days, we're going to pull your equipment. That is a possibility. So until we have some more credible figures, I'm starting to wonder whether it's even with this legislative issue or the stipulation, whether I should even proceed getting the equipment in. And that's just taking two steps backwards.
Yeah, I would agree, Mr. Hobbs. I think Bo is absolutely right. Your question is, what's the purpose of continuing the testing? I think, one, you need more diversity. in the types of organizations that it's in. I think number two, you need more diversity in the geographical area that they're in as well. Two locations in Denver doesn't really give you enough of a scope to see what its success or failure is going to be. And so I would think that your logic for continuing the testing would be to have a wider range of types of organizations that it's in and a larger geographical area that it's in as well. So you get some true measurable yardsticks to determine what its validity might be.
Mr. Hobbs, is there a precedence for testing other type of games? And what was the length of the test? Where was it tested? What was the... I agree with this gentleman that, boy, 2 months, 3 months, in two locations, I couldn't make decisions about that.
Chairman Bill Hobbs, you know, I don't know that the previous testing is going to be exactly the analogous situation. I remember, for example, when we were considering TEDS, you know, we all, including the Secretary of State, went out to halls. We had people play on paper. We compared it to the machines. I mean, so in kind of that sense, yes, we've done that. I don't recall that we've specifically utilized testing for purposes of measuring profitability. Exactly, it was more for other purposes. So, and I may be wrong.
No, you are correct. This is the first time there's ever been a time period where they've been allowed to use devices that there were still questions about whether or not they met statutory requirements. This was a first time.
And on that point, Patrick, I would want to say I don't think there's an individual that's involved in this group that wants to circumvent what the statute is. And we understand that, and I think we have parity of understanding that we're all working for a win-win situation on both sides.
What I was trying to emphasize before is I think our office went out on a limb, basically, took a risk to allow some of this. That's what it seems from our perspective.
Yeah.
We're interested in seeing that the licensees succeed.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And we appreciate that. We appreciated that and continue to appreciate that and would like to appreciate that even more.
And Mr. Hobbs, I guess I have a question. If you all internally and with the advice of your Attorney General come to the conclusion that these devices do not meet statutory definitions of AIDS or games or whatever, what's the likelihood that modifications to the statute is going to fall in the priority of the department and we can see a change so we can bring that necessary profitability to the charities?
Mr. Chairman, Bill Hobbs, you know, it's a good question. I can't really speak for the Secretary right now, but I think, you know, if it turns out that the conclusion is that we need additional legal authority, statutory authority, we'd be happy to look at this because, again, then it becomes a question of profitability. The purpose is to aid the nonprofits in their fundraising. And I think that is, you know, would be the primary consideration. Let me qualify that slightly, too. There's kind of a two-level legal question. Does it need to be authorized by statute, which is our immediate question? The second question is, can it be authorized by statute? And that's the other thing that we traditionally talk to our AG about when we're talking about electronic games.
Right.
What the Constitution authorizes is basically the traditional game of bingo, and how far can we push that? We pushed it pretty far with TEDS as player aid devices, where paper is used and the device simply helps, in theory, helps the player. So that's the second question, is the constitutionality as well. But I would certainly be open to this office, assuming we still have, you know, that responsibility moving forward, at least supporting legislation.
Raised a question in my mind about TEDS. A charity that offers a game, offers a player a TED-only device, are they in violation?
I'm not sure I want to wade into this because, you know, TEDS were authorized by statute. The way they were authorized was as a player aid device, which, as I understood it, was to where you verified off the paper. As the chairman pointed out, I don't think that's being done, and it may be that our rules no longer say that. So I'm a little uncomfortable at this point, having jumped back in this after a gap of some years, trying to answer that directly.
I can. I mean, those rules were changed, okay? And so you no longer verify off of paper when you use a machine. Those rules were changed. I don't know, a year ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that, Sean. Can you, John Amon Sr., since you're the lawyer, can you look up all the statutes, all the rules, so that we can present to the Secretary of State why the B3 meets, why the 24 number games meet all the requirements, and what this means regarding bingo aids and all of those things? Can we supply that to the Secretary of State from our perspective, from a legal perspective?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Hobbs, you know, I think John's essentially right about the history, except that I'll disagree with one thing. When Donetta Davidson was appointed in July of 99, the machines were being used. The Secretary had, I think, allowed it. There was not by benefit of rule or statutory change, but some were using it. And when Donetta Davidson was appointed, it was our feeling from after talking to the AG that they were not lawful under the statute, that there needed to be a statutory change. And that was based on legal advice from the Attorney General's office. And that's when we began testing to understand the devices, to understand whether or not they gave a benefit to electronic players over paper players, and try to understand them, and ultimately resulted in the legislation that authorized them with limitations. But I would just disagree in that I think Donetta Davidson felt that they were not lawful based on advice of the AG and needed legislation, and in fact that's what happened.
And we're not disagreeing with that. We are saying there's been new legislation that has turned a great deal of things over to rulemaking rather than legislation. And so a great deal of that has happened.
I'd like to make a motion that we move on.
We're moving on to lunch,
another subject. Adjournment.
Well, okay. I just don't. I don't know. So we're in flux. I don't know what the charities do today.
Mr. Chairman, here's where I am. I think it's kind of summarizing probably. I think with respect to the first part of the test, do we know enough about how the games are run? I think we do. We don't know necessarily enough about profitability because we haven't had the diversity, perhaps, of different different settings. But I think my preference would be to try to get a pretty quick legal answer. You know, based on what we do know about, since we know how the games work now, I think we can go to the Attorney General's office and try to get a quick decision on whether or not the games are lawful at all. If they're not lawful, profitability doesn't matter now until we can get legal authority, statutory authority.
Yeah.
But if they are, then I think we kind of then would have more basis for continuing the test period. So I think my takeaway, again, is to find out what we agreed to, but also take what we know and try to get a quick legal conclusion about the lawfulness of the game.
I agree with all that. And you can do a brief also, John?
Sure.
Okay. The other question I have, though, is, What's your charity?
Oaks.
Here? Okay. What happens to the Elks and the Knights of Columbus today?
In other words, is the test period still allowing them to continue?
Yes.
I can't answer that without listening to the tape and understanding what we agreed to before. I thought it was over. I thought the test period was over. But if I'm mistaken, I'm willing to say I was mistaken.
So what should they do?
I can't tell you right now until I've listened to what we've agreed to in the past.
Okay.
And Mr. Hobbs, what should we do? Our equipment...
Well, he can't tell until, you know, same answer.
So we cannot use our equipment when it comes in?
If the test period is over, I think that's correct. But if the agreement was testing could continue, then you can continue.
Okay.
Again, I would just qualify that though. If we get a legal
right.
conclusion,
sure, that's a whole different issue. Yeah. So I guess if you send Patrick out to Four Aces today, yeah.
Darn.
Well, you can't.
Yeah, that's how he feels.
we're not going to be going out citing people, and we're not going to do anything without letting everybody know.
Okay, that was our question. We don't want anybody doing something that's wrong for them, you know.
Right.
Okay, I appreciate that.
If the regulatory authority says stop,
yeah, instant. Okay.
Thank you, John. Okay, I'm going to. What was your name again?
John Smith.
Okay, Mr. Smith wants to move on. So that was a good discussion about all of that. Do we have any other comments about anything regarding bingo for the rest of the year? Because we're in a state of flux of who's going to be running us, the bingo operation. Gene has a question. I know it. I don't know.
If the voters say move to... Does this advisory committee stay in place?
Yes. The answer to that question is, according to the statute of 141, it stays in place. Okay, they've asked for an advisory board. If you look at that statute,
doesn't mean it's this one.
That's a legislative decision, Gene. It doesn't have anything to do with either office. It's appointed by the legislature.
So the proposal the voters are asking to approve or disapprove.
That is correct. That's legislative.
Okay. You have more questions?
Yeah, I have a couple
of others. One more, that's it.
No, sorry. I'm going to take full advantage of these 2 hours. Raffle approvals.
Well, that's good.
I represent a membership that's very diverse and across the state of Colorado. And we are holding raffles in, or would like to hold raffles in, many of the different member locations. And is it a approval on a case-by-case basis, or could I send in a list of we want to have a raffle for this time period at location A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and get 3 months' worth of approval at a time?
You could.
Yes. Thank you.
I just need the dates.
And the locations. And the you got it. 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 The got it. You 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 got it. And I wondered if that came down to you as to possibly looking at it and making it more simple registration than it currently is.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Hobbs, yes, it has. Secretary Buescher has talked about integrating business registration, charitable solicitations registration, and charitable gaming registration, and finding a way. I mean, we have three different information systems right now, and it's a lot of money, but that is something he would like to achieve.
I think it would be beneficial, and it helps with the charity's bottom line. Thank you.
Welcome. Anything else?
One last issue. And you all probably got an email, or, and I know, I think the staff handled it very well, the fraternal organization on the West Slope.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who had the issue of information that they provided, that there was some sensitive information on one of the volunteers. How do we deal with sensitive information that on volunteers? What's required by statute when you report your volunteers? And that's it?
All I require, if you request to have your volunteer list put walked in our office and asked to see your list, we would. But we just need name, and we don't need addresses. If the group wishes to put an address, they can put the organization.
Is there an opt-out opportunity for a volunteer who may have a good rationale for staying very private?
Again, we can scan it into the personal system. If somebody wanted to see the list, we would have to produce it. Unfortunately, the way the statute's written, it does require that a list of all the volunteers that are going to be helping at least be supplied to our office. And because of the nature of a bingo raffle license, we have to make that information. It doesn't have to be immediately public, but if someone required to see, wanted to see that, we would have.
On a personal note, I truly understand your statutorily obligation, but I also understand there are life experiences with volunteers where I know in the driver's license you can hide, if you, for lack of a better term, you can hide your identity if need be. I would recommend and offer up to the staff here to look at those type of opportunities for bingo volunteers or raffle volunteers, because that's just to subject them to it, put them in harm's way, is just absolutely unacceptable in my mind.
For your information, Bill, if you didn't see that letter, or did you see?
I did not.
The letter had to do with a group that had volunteers that they needed to send to the Secretary of State's office, and one of their complaints was that one of their volunteers was a woman whose husband was in jail for murder and was getting out shortly, and he had threatened to kill her, and they didn't want any of that information on her to be disseminated.
Mr. Chairman, this is a real troublesome issue, and we do face this in probably in all of our programs, because a lot of what we do is we're a filing office, campaign finance and business registrations and lobbyist regulation. There's an awful lot of personal information, including in campaign finance, the name of employers and stuff like that. There is some limitation, provision for protecting people. Gene, as you pointed out, with respect to driver's licenses and voter registration, there is a confidentiality provision for those records. But in general, otherwise, the open records law pretty much gives the public the right to public documents, such as what Shannon's referring to. There's just one other program, though, that may or may not fit, but it's a pretty important one that we administer, and it's called the Address Confidentiality Program. Not sure it would help in the situation. But where people really are under threat of based on domestic violence, they can get a secret address, and basically all of their mail comes to us, and then we forward it to the secret address. Now, that's more of an address confidentiality thing. It may not work so much here, because if your name is on a list and you know and you can associate that with a location, then a potential perpetrator can put two and two together. And I'm not quite sure how to do that other than with a statutory change because of the open records law.
Sure. Problem.
But name, and, that name, the name right. Thing is good. It's only name.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I'd like to at least send a message to the gentleman who sent the inquiry that we're on top of it. We will work on it. We certainly have limitations, but I want the public and all of our volunteers and charities to know that this commission, as well as staff, takes those concerns mm-hmm. very seriously, and will do what we can.
No, we got a copy of that for the board, but the board, it's not the board's job, basically, to be involved in that, but it is the Secretary of State's office to respond to that. I don't know, none of you got a copy of that? Can you forward a copy to Rudy?
I think the gentleman is listening, and I will call him this afternoon and ask him to submit. I know that he talked to somebody in your office and was very pleased with the response, but like I say, there are certain issues that are very important to me as individuals, and I agree with the chairman, it's not our job, but doing the right thing doesn't necessarily have to fit into a job description.
Right.
I do recall a phone call, Patrick Lyons, I do recall a phone call in the past 3 or 4 weeks where a gentleman from, I believe it was a...
Yes.
The West Slope.
Yeah.
It may be Paonia, someplace on Hotchkiss, or perhaps Grand Junction. But I remember talking to him, and actually there was never any explanation. Kind of joked about it a bit, about this some people consider obsession with privacy. But there was never any mention of anyone being under threat or...
I have the email. I'll forward it to the staff.
But anyway, basically, what I had told him is, well, if you request to keep anonymous, not a problem.
I appreciate the staff helping with this and enough said.
I got it.
Okay.
Oh, I got that.
Yeah. So for some reason, it went to the board for some reason. You know, we don't know why, but...
There was never any mention of divorce and murder.
Yeah.
Never any,
it wasn't
simply that some of the women in the auxiliary were requesting that names, but there was never any
The email covered all that, and that we did get that email. So if she's going to forward that to you guys, that would be great. Okay. All right. Can I move on now?
You may.
Well, that was good discussion for this open discussion. Are there anything else, any other things we can do? What's going to happen if we stay in the Secretary of State's office?
There's a load.
You know, and I want to make sure I'm right about this. If referendum P passes, then I think the bill kicks in and basically says there's a transition period that from this office to Department of Revenue that's July 1, I think. So there'll be a smooth transition.
Right. I think, so. But if it doesn't pass,
then everything stays the same.
Okay. Okay. I think anybody else have anything else they would like to discuss? No? Do we have a... when's the next meeting?
The quarterly meeting?
No, these are every other month, potentially, or if there's nothing to do, we put them off, you know?
September 8th, if you want to go for the next...
September 8th, is that our Labor Day or any around there?
No, it's the second month in September.
Okay, September 8th. Let's put that down unless something happens. Is that okay with everyone? And but we will have an answer from the Secretary of State on the legal issue pretty quickly, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And John's going to file a brief with the together, right? You want to get with Bill about that, or how?
I guess the pretty quickly. I want to respect your request that John provide legal authority. I don't want to jump ahead of that. I want to have benefit of that. So, you know, but we'll go ahead and tee the issue up with our AG now, pending receiving something from John.
Okay. That'd be great. The faster that we can do it, the better, I think. You can say something.
Bo Williams, I because of the many good things that Mike Shea did, I didn't have an opportunity to, I think, properly give my gratitude for his efforts in the past, and I'd like to suggest or make a motion that we submit a letter as the advisory board to Mike Shea, thanking him for his appreciation for his efforts for the past.
There's a second. So we have a first and a second on giving Mike a letter of appreciation for what he did for the bingo.
Commendation or condemnation? No.
And who's going to write that? The one with the burden gets to write it. You want to write it?
Well, of course, it would have to be on a VFW certificate then.
That would be okay, but it would be, you know. Okay, everybody approve? All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. So by next meeting, you'll have a letter drafted that we can all sign and send off to Mike somewhere in the world. He's not going back to military again, is he?
No. He's, and we can provide you an address.
Okay. And he's giving, is he going to be the traffic guy for a helicopter traffic guy? Or? All right. That sounds good. Okay. Any other things? We have a move. Any second? Meeting's adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good. Appreciate it. Was that all right for you?
Discussion. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, Jim. Nice to see you again.
You as well.
Used to see you at the Capitol a lot.
Oh, yeah. I don't do that anymore.
You don't at all?